time for the Molloy Drive Show podcast. Okay, Australia, you know him. You can count on him.
I'm a 50-50 chance.
You love him.
Hello, go to the top shelf, ladies.
And now, it's his show.
Here we go, people.
This is Molloy.
Yes, welcome to the big Thursday edition of Molloy. Hello, Dave.
How are you, Mickey?
It's a big day. Oh, what a show. Jim Jefferies live from LA. Yeah. I cannot wait. Gone wild.
Oh, yeah.
Bang.
Thursday.
That's always popular. World news. Guess what? Russia are trying to leave the space station.
I can't believe
that. Can you believe
Holy
it?
Years.
I've watched the end of the Queen's Gambit.
Have you?
Oh, I wasn't
are
happy
you okay
about
with it,
but I'm ready to do it.
Oh.
And a special interview with an old digger, 102-year-old veteran, from the Second World War,
wow.
Arthur Leggett, one of WA's finest.
You got it.
We'll be on the line to have a chat. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets.
Let's get into it. A big Thursday Molloy starts right now.
For the drive home, this is Molloy.
Time for some world news.
All bases covered. It's like spinning a globe when you listen to that intro, isn't it?
Amazing. We're everywhere.
I feel like I'm tapped into the entire world. Let's start in Italy. The Italian king of absentees allegedly, listen to this, skipped work for how long do you think?
So,
you think Australians, we like taking a sickie.
Maybe, I don't know, 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
A month.
Yeah, 15 years.
What the hell?
How good is that?
Hey,
you're
what?
Good, Dave. I know you. We call you Friday, Dave.
Stop it.
Dave, you have. I've seen you take a long weekend.
This is coming from a guy who's got it written in his contract to have how many RDOs a year?
Five RDOs.
Then you get all those extra of holidays because you're talent on the network. What about the rest of us?
And the RDOs, by the way, I can take with like 15 minutes. Jay used to work with me on Breakfast Radio, and Jay's fear was the phone ringing, my phone ringing at 5:45. Hello? Hi, Jay. Jay, it's Mickey. I don't know if we can make it in today.
If we got a call from you before we called you with your wake-up call, we knew we were in trouble.
Hang on. Stop. You rang Mick to wake him up?
Every morning.
Yeah.
You don't have an alarm?
I had a wake-up call from the Governor-General.
What do you
mean? Who was it?
Absolutely. Peter Cosgrove.
Boy, get out of bed. We'll dig that out. He did it for Anzac Day. Coming up, by the way, we're speaking to one of our great diggers later in the program. But listen to this. The Italian king of absentees, Skip, worked 15 years. He was a public sector worker. Right. That's why no one cottoned on.
15 years.
Described as the king of absentees by the Italian press. Mm. Broken the record. Skip work. Police say the hospital employee, doing anything, obviously wasn't bringing the heart transplant.
That's right.
Continued to be paid a monthly salary amounting to a total of $834,000 despite not turning up to work at the hospital.
That's
that is good work. Jeez, you're in the wrong industry, Dave.
I really am. By the way, I think I had one day off last year.
Dave, you're
one
the king.
Day off. I am not the
Everyone
king.
Everyone knows.
And you're allowed a certain amount of sick days per year, I believe, Jay. Is that right?
Sure.
Yeah, so.
But I'm not sure you really want us to go back and count.
No, I'm telling you right now, you don't need to count.
It was like in Detroit in the old days. They used to say never buy a Monday car or a Friday car. Because all the Detroit automotive workers used to either not sign in for the weekend because they wanted an early weekend or were so hungover that they would not come to work. So most cars that went on a Friday or a Monday on the production line only had half the bolts in them because every second bloke was
Is
missing.
That right?
Don't buy a Monday, don't buy a Friday car. As they say when you're listening to Dave, don't listen to a Monday.
That's true.
Hey, also in Italy, bad gelati. Could be illegal under a new Italian law. Now, this is what I love. Italian Parliament changes every 2 months.
Right.
They don't have many rules. You can do just about anything, but don't piss fart around with the gelati. What they're saying is they're declaring war on ice cream sellers who pump compressed air into their mixtures to make them look fluffier.
Oh, I see.
Oh, you can't do that. Imagine going to a gelati van. And getting your gelati, which is like a balloon, like helium balloon, float. You lift you off the ground.
No, you need a bit more substance than that.
Because I love my gelati.
Oh, look at you. Of course you do.
Okay. Yellow card, Dave. Yellow card. Jeez Louise. Don't you laugh.
He's, well, man, I'm just saying he's on to you.
Maybe I need a bit more air. Maybe I should pump some more air into my gelatis. But how's this? Because I love this about the Italians. They take their food very seriously.
Of course they do.
Like pizzas.
Oh, mate. Lasagna.
Lasagna. You wouldn't want to muck around with a lasagna. You'd get a horse's head in your bed.
You bet.
No, by the way, if you're putting a horse's head in the bed, don't fill it full of air. That's the other thing the Italians get very upset about. And just quickly,
yes.
Before we go to the break, the French, we're in France now.
Oh, yeah.
The French Prime Minister is being mailed ladies' underwear as lingerie stores protest lockdown rules. Prime Minister Jean Castex is being sent ladies' underwear in the mail as part of a protest by lingerie store owners whose outlets have been forced to close under the country's lockdown.
Right.
Wow. I'd be surprised if the French Prime Minister isn't actually popping those on. Do you know what? That should be the French flag.
What's that?
Women's underwear. Women's lingerie underwear. That's how they operate.
Up the flagpole.
All rise for the national anthem. Just a pair of knickers. Lingerie knickers. How French. Ha ha. Isn't that fantastic? Ah, the French, what they get upset about. All right, we'll be back with more world news after this.
You got it. It's Malloy, Triple M.
Get with the program, Toots. This is Malloy.
Mick Malloy here, all around Australia and through the Listener app. You got Triple M's Malloy.
We are still in the middle of world news, Dave. And by the way, we found out, well, my wake-up call, this is the one Jay used to pop on if ever they needed me to wake up at a particular time. This is what Major General Cosgrove.
Peter Cosgrove. Yeah, yeah. Here's what happened.
Private Malloy, get out of bed. You sack of bones, get out of bed. We need you. We need you out of bed now. Stand up. Get dressed. Get ready to go to the dawn service. Oh, by the way, don't put on those tracky dacks. Don't want to see any improper parts. So get yourself neat, tidy, upright, and get moving. Peter Cosgrove signing off.
Wow.
But it's amazing how you do it.
You listen to that voice.
Get out of bed. Oh, you just would.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't
you? You wouldn't even question it.
This commands
so
respect.
So there it is. Time for a quick one. We've talked about this volcano before. It's in Iceland.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And people are rushing there now to get married, believe it or not, at the volcano. So I'm not even going to try and pronounce it. Here's how it should be pronounced.
Fagradalsfjall Mountain.
Sure.
Wow.
I think he is. Can I buy a vowel?
Imagine
that on, what's that game show? You had to spell out the letters.
Oh, like Now You See It? I don't know. One of those ones?
No. Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
Imagine an Icelandic Wheel of Fortune. could I have a...
Fagradalsfjall Mountain.
Everyone knew that. It's hard to pronounce.
It is.
By the way. But everyone's trying to get married there. You know why?
Why is that?
Because there's a chance you might get hit in the head with a molten rock before you have to get married. Imagine that, please. Please.
Photos would be spectacular.
Right, look out. Donk.
Yeah.
Doink. Oh, jeez. Now I'm on fire.
Yeah.
Still preferable.
And you're not.
Forgot the ring. Doink. Why would you go to a mountain you can't pronounce? We'll always have.
It's Iceland, though. That's pretty cool to get married in.
Fagradalsfjall Mountain.
It's
the white noise at the end, which I love. What is Iceland's problem when it comes to naming volcanoes? Have a listen to Dave Letterman. This is a different volcano. And as they grapple on his show with the pronunciation.
Now, we have collected some mispronunciations and some novel pronunciations of the volcano Eyjafjallajökull here.
It's Eyjafjallajökull.
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 Joe Kettle, I think.
Joe Kettle.
If I have to pick a favourite.
Fagradalsfjall Mountain.
Mm. Yeah, that's the one. I'll tell you what, Dave had no trouble pronouncing correctly. That was my name when he promoted
my
comedy
we?
Show. I think I was comedy legend. Have you got that
there? Yeah, this is you. Your name announced on Letterman.
All right, next. Next guest is a very, very funny man, and he'll be performing, listen to this, with Australian comedy legends Glenn Robbins and also Mick Molloy. This will take place at the Adelaide Fringe Festival from February 19th through the 28th. So if business or pleasure takes you to Adelaide, drop in and see him. Should be a great show. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back Jeff Stilson.
What an honour. Your name mentioned by David Letterman.
I love it. Oh, I wish that should be my wake-up call.
Yeah.
Well, I'd be bounce out of bed with a stiffy.
Okay.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Molloy.
Coming up, a 102-year-old World War II veteran. His name is Arthur Leggett, and he's a bloody ripper. Head of Anzac Day. We'll be chatting with Arthur in the next few minutes here on Molloy.
A big day on the Australian calendar. No mistake. We're still in world news. Yep. We're going to Russia now.
Oh,
who've done the space equivalent of throwing your toys out of the cot. Listen to this. We'll leave International Space Station and build our own, says Russia. If you want to do it well, do it yourself, says the head of their space agency, as collaboration with the US strained at the moment by earthly disputes. Obviously, they're unhappy with each other.
That's right.
I'm all buggier.
And this is the great thing about the US and Russia. This was sort of like their peacekeeper. Like
it was.
It was the space station.
Remember they joined up and shook hands.
That's right.
And it was a huge moment.
And it's a collaborative effort. So that's disappointing.
Russia is ready to start building its own space station with the aim of launching it into orbit by 2030.
Right.
Just waiting for the go-ahead from Vladimir Putin, who'll still be president then, trust me. he says the head of the Roscosmos Space Agency, the project would end more than two decades of close cooperation.
Yeah, that's right.
So they go and build their own. But what happens to that? What would you do at our space station to keep them out? Do you have to change all the locks?
Maybe.
I mean, what would stop the Russians?
That's true. They know all the codes
to
get in. And
they've probably named their food in the fridge.
That's right.
The cosmonauts know their way around.
They do.
Isn't that knocking the door?
G'day.
Who's there?
Russians.
Don't answer it. Turn
they
the lights
say
off.
That the Russian one is not going to be manned, that it's going to be robots. And artificial intelligence, and cosmonauts would go up and visit.
This opens the door for monkeys again. Remember monkeys? They were the original space pioneers.
Sure.
You know you're in trouble when you're shooting a monkey in the space. And if you do shoot a monkey in the space, it should be smoking a cigar and dressed in human clothing. Well, they started, didn't they, with Yuri Gagarin. Remember Yuri Gagarin?
Oh, yeah.
He was the first one to go up.
He was the first one to go up, did a lap, high on vodka.
Did a really good pass the other night, the International Space Station too, by the way, Southern Australia. It's just passed a moment ago the Queensland coast, but it's daytime, so you can't see it. Anyway, it's on the ISS spotter. Back to you.
On air, Dave. We are on air. Hey, do you want, I don't know if without the help of the Americans, the Russians are any good at this stuff.
You don't think?
Well, I wouldn't be going to their space station. That'd be like one of those Formula One hotels as opposed to like a Hyatt or a big chain. Because you know their airline, don't you? Aeroflot.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Now,
pretty basic setup.
Oh, my.
Yeah, pretty basic.
Oh, but there are two airlines in the world you should never get on.
What's that?
Aeroflot and Garuda.
Right.
In fact, if you're on either of those two airlines and the plane lands successfully, clap. In fact, they should have monkeys on those on those planes is how I would do it. And by the way, just quickly to wind up, we're going to the UK now.
Mm.
They're facing a garden gnome shortage following, you'll guess why. Suez Canal. The Suez Canal blocked off. Now, I'm not sure if the gnomes were actually on the on the boat.
It's a gnome shortage.
What do you mean?
There's
like
a gnome shortage.
Like little
don't
concrete
laugh at
gnomes.
This.
That
in
can't
England.
Be a thing.
They were either on the one or they're all behind it. So they're clogged up. They can't get through.
So people waiting to get their gnomes.
There's a news grab if you don't believe me.
The Ever Given blocked a major waterway for only 6 days, but the effects are far-reaching, and it finally reached the UK with a shortage of garden gnomes. Apparently, the pandemic has encouraged a bunch of people to pay attention to their gardens again. Some retailers say that they have not had gnomes in stock for about 6 months.
Okay.
What about bird baths? You get a bird bath?
Okay, if you're not going to take this seriously. No, that's it, Dad.
All right, we're done, are we?
No, I'm done.
It's Molloy, Triple M.
For the drive home, this is Molloy.
Jim Jefferies coming up in the second hour. You're listening to Molloy on Triple M and through the Listener app.
Yeah, and by the way, Front Bar's on tonight.
It is. Channel 7. Check your local
low. So just watch it if you can or tape it. Whatever you do, don't watch The Queen's Gambit. If you're on Netflix.
Well, it's a pretty popular show.
This.
It's
Serious issues.
I was talked about this on the show yesterday. I was really disappointed because I thought it was, as advertised on Netflix, an historical drama. Mm. That usually means it has historical truth to it.
Like
The Crown. The Crown, you go, oh, okay, yeah. I know all the characters. There you go. Yeah. That's all. It's
historical.
It's historical.
Yeah, that's right.
And so you would think the same of The Queen's Gambit. And then yesterday on the show, what did I say to you,
James? You said, can you show me a picture of Beth Harmon, the chess prodigy? What does she look like today? And I said, you mean the actress who played Beth Harmon?
You showed me. And I said, not her, the real Beth Harmon. And you said, oh, my God, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
That's not real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Subsequently, turns out I'm not the only one. It's been advertised and marketed in such a way that people believed this to be true.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I finished it last night.
Oh, did you?
I went and watched it. It's pretty good.
Is it? All right.
It's really good. But I was kicking myself because you know when it's pointed out to you, you go, of course.
Right.
Of course. I should have seen the signs.
Yeah.
So they clearly, when one of the, in the early episodes, when one of the chess players turns up as, I don't know, let's say a cross between Brad Pitt and Crocodile Dundee, complete with a knife. He's turned up to a chess tournament in a dry as a bone, a cowboy hat, and he's wearing a knife.
That's not a knife.
To your average person, that should have been a tip-off.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Warning bells might have gone off then.
That maybe.
Maybe I should Google this Beth Harmon.
Yeah. Well, that actor is Thomas Brody Sangster, who was the little kid in Love Actually.
Oh, so I've been double chick flicked. I have been double.
You've been duped.
I'm watching The Queen's Gambit that features actors from other chick flicks.
Yeah.
What was he?
And he was the young kid on Love Actually.
What happened to the kid from About a Boy? What happened to him?
I don't know.
Google it. Because that was true, wasn't it? Tell me that was true. Tell me that.
Let me tell you this. I'll tell you what
tell
is
me that
true.
Was actually Hugh Grant's son. What are you telling me?
Harry Melling, who's also in The Queen's Gambit, he was Dursley in Harry Potter films.
Oh, it's like doing a radio show with Ivan Hutchins. Which one from Harry Potter?
He's the kid.
The muggle.
He's the son. He's the muggle who Harry lives with under the stairs.
You don't call him Muggle. I don't think Muggle's PC.
Yeah, I don't
think
you can say that on there.
The Queen's Gambit, but it's very good.
Right.
And, geez, give it a look, guys.
Really?
There's something in it for you.
All right. Do I put the warning out?
Warning! Chick flick alert!
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Malloy.
They marched us through Salonika and out into a concentration camp which they had put together. We were put into those with a big barbed wire fence around it and machine gun posts, and we were systematically starved and beaten around there. One night I really thought I was going to die, but that was the night that we pulled into the prisoner of war camp in Germany. The doors were flung open, we were told to get out, and I jumped out and I hit the ground. My legs wouldn't hold me up. Two of my mates picked me up and the three of us staggered in to the prisoner of war camp.
That is the voice of Arthur Leggett. When he was 18, he joined the 16th Battalion, Cameron Highlanders of Western Australia, and was in the horse transport section right up until the war broke out. Then he enlisted in the AIF. Arthur was a signaller in the 2nd 11th Battalion. He fought against the Italian army in Libya in the battles of Bardia and Tobruk before being captured by German paratroopers during the Battle of Crete in Greece in 1941 when he was 22 years old. As we speak, the great man is 102 years old and doesn't look a day younger. Arthur, thanks for joining us today.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Did I get all that right? And I'm guessing I missed a few things. That's basically a synopsis of your wartime experience?
Yes, well, the same synopsis applies to about 1,000 men of the battalion and so on. I wasn't on my own.
Yeah.
We understand that. And Arthur, you were born in 1918, which, if my maths is right, was the conclusion of the First World War, which your father fought in. Am I correct?
That's correct, yes.
And what was his involvement in the First World War?
He was in the 28th Battalion.
Yep.
A West Australian regiment.
Yep.
He was involved in France, but he was only in the army about 19 months from the time he enlisted till the time he was discharged with ill health.
Mm. Well, I tell you this, in terms of per capita, Western Australia has paid dearly for this country in theatres of war. And so we thank you all from that part of the world for your sacrifice. Given your experience and when we get to Anzac Day, how do you spend it yourself? Can I ask you that firstly?
Well, this year I have a grandson who's determined to get me in a wheelchair and push me down the terrace in a march, in the Anzac Day march.
Yep, well, that's exciting stuff. What do you want Australians to think about on this day? What is it that's important, do you think, to remember at least Anzac Day?
Well, the angle that I always try to put forward to the younger generation is that all the privileges that they have and the freedom that they have in this country was paid for. Yep. And it was paid for by men who laid down their lives to make it so, not only just on ends at the Gallipoli, but for the wars that we've been in since. And
yes,
we mustn't forget, whilst we honour the men of Gallipoli, we mustn't forget that there have been other men who have paid the price too.
That's right. Well, there's dead Australians all over France, and as you say, more recently in modern theatres of war. We are a very proud nation when it comes to the way we've been represented by our military men and women over the years. You've done a lot since the war in regards to prisoners of war. Can you tell me about your involvement with that organisation?
Well, yes. For about the last 20 years or so, I've been the president of the Ex-Prisoners of War Association of WA, organised a few things there. We have a memorial up in Kings Park, which I've had adopted by one of our senior high schools. And I've also had the memorial upgraded. These are just things that I have, when I say I have, the association. The association has had to do, and we have had our ex-prisoners of war memorial adopted by Mount Lawley Senior High School, and they hold an annual service there. They bring up their own band, their own choir, and the senior boy and the senior girl, they conduct the whole ceremony now.
Yeah.
Because there's only about five of us ex-prisoners of war left in Western Australia.
I was about to ask the question, and by the way, you're very humble. You yourself haven't mentioned that you received an OAM for services to veterans and their families through the Ex-Prisoner of War Association, and at the Mount Lawley Senior High School that you just mentioned, they've named their library the Arthur Leggett OAM Library. I don't want to upset you or dig too deep, but can you give us a snapshot of what life was like for you as a prisoner of war over those 4 years in Germany?
Well, it varied a bit depending on where you were. The first 18 months, well, we were in Munich and working for the town asphalt works where they mixed up the tar to put on the roads around the town. And I met some magnificent men who were Germans in that period of time.
Yep.
But when we were transported across to Poland to work in the coal mines, discipline became a little bit more strict because, well, you're on a border there between Poland and Germany, and there was also always a chance of a problem arising within the community, and you could be caught up in it. Things were much more strict then.
How did you deal with morale with you and the other prisoners of war?
The daily existence, particularly in Munich, well, there was a 20 of us in a working party that went to this firm, and we had a guard which took us there, but his name was Joe, and once we got there, we never saw him until 5 o'clock in the afternoon. We were going back home again. We were just spread all around the place, and we never had a guard standing over us at all. When we got to Poland, that was a different story. We managed to gradually whittle down any sense of animosity, and it's surprising just how human beings all function on a common level, really. As I said earlier, I've met some splendid Germans and I've met some splendid Polish people too. And you sit here down and you say, well, what the heck was it all about?
Yeah. I think that's a common sentiment shared by a lot of returned servicemen I have spoken to. I think, especially from the wars that you and your father were involved in, I think there was a lot of kids going over there without fully understanding what it was they were getting themselves into. Can I ask you, at 102, you're one of the last men standing. Do you think about your mates and comrades on this particular day?
Oh, yes, certainly on Anzac Day I do, and the same as the task I've got on Saturday at the football game. I'm representing all those who've gone before me, and I've just got to do my best, and they're all in my back of my mind that it's not me that's there. I'm just one of all of those fellows who have been before me as well.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be a great day. On behalf of a grateful nation, I want to thank you and all your comrades living and fallen for your service. 102, I hope you've had your shots. I know you're over there in Western Australia, but tell me you've had your vaccine shots, please.
I believe they're on, but I haven't seen anything of it. And I haven't been vaccinated or incinerated yet, so
I reckon you're a hard man to bring down, Arthur. Well, thank you for your time today. Thank you for your service. And, Dave, have you got the numbers? Because this can be a difficult time for some returned servicemen, as Arthur mentions, from any of our conflicts. Are there numbers to call?
Yeah, absolutely. Open Arms Veterans and Families Counselling Services, which was formerly the VVCS, provides free and confidential counselling support for current and former ADF members and their families. That can be reached 24/7 on 1-800-011-046 or visit the Open Arms website for more information.
Which football match are you going to?
Oh, to the Dockers.
The Dockers.
It's the Optus Stadium.
What's your team?
Yeah, who do you back for?
Hey, I'm Dockers.
All right,
there you go.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks again, Arthur.
Good. It was a pleasure talking to you, fellas.
Thank you so much.
All the best.
Thank you.
This is Malloy. To gather back around your wireless people, here comes the big second hour of Malloy.
It's going to be massive.
Yeah.
Coming up in just a moment, the great Jim Jefferies joins us live via satellite.
Los Angeles.
From LA.
Yeah.
Always good to catch
up. One of our favourites, isn't he?
Yeah, Jim? I missed him over the break. I felt, one thing that I love doing is chatting with Jim.
You never know where it's going to go, and I've got to hover over the dump button and bleep button as well.
Good luck with that. Gone Wild is back. Yeah. Migaloo, the white whale, has been seen.
Migaloo.
Seen but not harpooned.
Come on,
somebody.
We don't harpoon whales anymore.
Whoever does that is going to cover themselves in greatness. We're going to have a wrap-up. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets.
Yeah.
So much to get through. It's all coming up.
Jim Jefferies next.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
Man, have a look at this. We're joining him from Los Angeles, California
It's
the great Jim Jefferies.
How are you, mate? Good to catch up. It's been a while. What's been happening?
Well, not much with me. Where have you been? I keep on every Wednesday. It's Wednesday over here. I'd speak to my assistant. I go, I meant to be seeing Mick. And, he's still hurting after the hair transplant.
Yeah. I've been down the coast making a suit out of human skin. the usual stuff you do. When you are on holidays, what's happening?
Well, I try to go on. I went to Hawaii for a bit. Yep. Every time you get on a bus or something like that, or a cab, they go, aloha, and then they expect you to say it back, and you go, aloha.
Yeah.
Even the moody French, you go over to France, and you say bonjour, and they're like, oh, yeah, good for you, thanks for saying. I can say words in America. They can say howdy to me, and I'll say howdy back. But in Australia, when you meet an American, and they say, g'day, mate, don't you just go, shut up.
Yes,
don't say it.
Sounds like they're pulling the piss.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're trying to do a shithouse impersonation.
Yeah. We don't like it. We're like, that's our word, not your word. And then you're like, what? And you go, don't say g'day. And they go, all right, mate, settle down. Don't say mate either. You're not allowed to say mate. That's the M word. I can use it. You can't use it.
The M word, correct. And if someone tries to lay a fair dinkum on me, it's just a punch in the face.
Oh.
Fair dinkum, mate.
But as Australians, we can say anything to anyone else. I said shalom to a Jewish fellow the other day. No problem. Oh, I can tell you, my wife's pregnant, and so I'm gonna be having a kid. My Jewish mate, mazel tov, and I just said mazel tov back. He didn't look at me and go, you can't say mazel tov. It doesn't seem right. But I went, oh, thanks, mate. And then he went, thanks, mate. And I went, shut up. Don't say it.
You said that your wife is pregnant,
yeah,
having a child. Congratulations.
Yeah, well done.
Well, she's having a child. We'll see about
me. The language these days is we're having a child and he's having a child. Yeah. And he'll be wearing an empathy belly next.
I'm doing the empathy getting fat, you know, while the pregnancy's on.
I've got empathy man boobs.
I was doing that working up to the pregnancy. I thought, I'm married now. I don't have to take care of myself. I'll get fat. And then she got pregnant. I tell you what about the pregnancy, though, that I do find funny. It's like they say I should swim. So she goes, heat the pool up, because she doesn't like cold pools, right? So heat the pool up. And now we're dealing Fahrenheit here, not the stupid Fahrenheit, the stupid measurement. I like cellulose. Zero is freezing. 100 is boiling. It makes sense. You don't have this whole, 33 is freezing. Shut up and minus 20.
You've got to do the maths.
Yeah, it's too much. Anyway, so in Fahrenheit, pregnant lady's not meant to swim in over 90 degrees of heat in the pool, right? Hot tubs are like 100 degrees Fahrenheit, right? But my wife doesn't like it under 88. So I'm like a scientist trying to get this pool just to the right level so she can dip into it for a second. Anyway, this is the thing. So she goes, I can't swim in a pool, this thing. I can't go on roller coasters. I can't go on a merry-go-round. I can't eat raw fish. I can't drink coffee. And I said to the doctor, can we still... And they're like, of course you can.
Yeah, right? Obviously, you're a dud root because the doctor said, no, you, fine. Go ahead.
Everyone will be safe.
Have you been in the ward for the birth of a child before?
Well, my son, I was there, but it was a cesarean. Cesareans are fun. Cesareans are just like you're talking to a head that's disconnected from the rest of the body.
Wow.
And it just sits there and they've got a sheet up and then she just looks at you going, is it going well? I go, I'm not looking at the cut myself. I'm not going to look at it. And then there was a doctor who was just chatting to me and he's just like this going, oh, yeah, you're a stand-up comedian. And he goes, oh, I like that Bill Burr. And I'm like, just focus. Focus.
I've been to 5 births.
Really? Really?
Yeah, none of them my own. But, just wander in with a large Coke and some popcorn and go, what's going on here? Hang about, Jim. We're going to come back with more after this.
It's Malloy on Triple M.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy.
Jim Jefferies is here. He's got a podcast. I don't know about that. Yeah, wherever your podcast, you want to check it out. Kelly Blackheart and Forrest Shaw and Jack Hackett as well.
What do you think about Anzac weekend this weekend in Australia? What do you think of? What are your strong Australian connections that you...
They don't really... Memorial Day over here, they don't really put as much effort in as they do in Australia. Right. You think the Americans would, but the America is like every day is Anzac Day. You show up at a sporting event, it's like, can the troops please stand up? And they all... And everyone claps them and all that type of stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
It's what half your taxes go on, so you better appreciate it. But the Australians, we have there seems to be a lot more... I did enjoy Prince Philip funeral.
Oh, I was going to ask.
I haven't heard the last post in a while. It was beautifully done. Beautifully done.
It's a big day for the bugler, Anzac Day, isn't it? And there's
pressure's
a lot of pressure because it's one of those instruments where you don't get to play, you don't hear from the rest of the day.
You're right.
Come Anzac Day, he bounces out of bed, clicks the case open, and goes, oh boy, you want to get that right.
Well, that's also the thing with the bugler playing the last post. My wife turned to me and she said, is that all that person does in the army? And I wasn't sure.
No.
Maybe.
You're right.
Maybe.
Oh, hang on. Reveille as well, which is get out of bed in the morning.
But
you're right. It's not a bad gig if you're over there. Some people are getting shot at. I'll just be back here playing the bugle if anyone needs me.
Back in the old, like when the Redcoats used to fight the Americans and the British soldiers had drummers at the front.
That's right.
You know, there's just a bloke on the snare drum. He must have thought, I'm not fully equipped for this. Can anyone get me some camouflage? They put me in red.
That's a good point.
That's a poor choice of instrument as a kid too, isn't it? Kid, first day of school, don't pick up the snare drum.
My mother, I had to learn the flute, right, because it was the smallest instrument. We're not having a big thing laying around the house. There isn't anything that is more embarrassing as a young boy as playing the flute. She would have had me do the piccolo just so she would have had more space in the house.
Well, my boys came home from school the other day with their new instruments, twin boys, aged 8. One had, Fred had the violin and Lenny had the cello.
Oof.
And Lenny had the cello. I go, Mom, mate, can you play it? He goes, yeah, Dad. Mm. And just got straight into the Jaws theme. As an 8-year-old, I would have thought, what's the cello? Why would you pick the cello? There he is all day.
I've got to tell you a story that's very loosely based. When I was a kid, right, I was an exchange student in America for 2 months. I actually lived in San Diego from 14 or 15, which was a good time because about 1990, Crocodile Dundee was still one of the biggest movies in the world. Yeah. Yahoo Serious was racing up the charts, right? The accent really came in its own. And I went from a guy who I'd think, and I hadn't kissed any girl. Wow. I'd never been cool in my whole life. Now, I did get in some trouble there because I went out there with a friend of mine. It's a wonderful scam that the Lions Club just pays for you. If you say, oh, but like this, you don't even pay for it. If you're a poor kid sitting at home, you want to go to America, just ring them up or the Rotary Club. They'll send you overseas. And you go over to class. You go over to class and they go, okay, you have a history assignment. And you're like, you might. what are you going to do, expel me? Oh, yeah, I'll get on to that. Yeah, good work, right? Anyway, so we went to a school dance, and in America, they do that thing, slow dancing, where they put their hands over the thing. In Australia, we all just sort of stand, the boys stand on one side, the girls stand on the other side, and we sort of bop around. But the beauty of the slow dance, I was like, do you want to slow dance? I was just slow dancing with everyone. Cut to the person who's the DJ went, because we have some of our Aussie friends, mates, don't say it. We have a song for you from your home country. And they turn on Midnight Oil's Beds Are Burning, right? Okay. Now, Beds Are Burning was a hit in America. So all of a sudden, we hear through the speakers, dun, dun, dun. And we're like, so what do Australian 15-year-old boys do when they hear Beds Are Burning? We dance like Peter Garrett. Yeah, you do the thing where you keep your elbows in close and you move your hands. Now, here's the thing about the Americans. They had gotten the song Beds Are Burning, but the film clip hadn't gotten out there. They had no reference point to what they were doing. So that links into your son getting a cello, right? That's sort of a...
that's what I can't wait for. Mate, do you know what? When Peter Garrett was in Parliament, he was a cabinet member. Mm. I always wanted him to cross the floor, but doing his dance.
That's right.
It would have been a good look. Hey, mate, you do us proud overseas, and stories like that really warm my heart. Yeah. Thank you once again for swinging by. We look forward to catching up with you again in the near future. Dave, podcast details,
you
please.
You got it. It's called I Don't Know About That.
Oh, there
and
we go.
That was Jim Jefferies.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
Gone Wild.
Been a while.
Let's start. Migaloo is back.
Yeah,
is he? They're saying the rock star white whale, they say, has been spotted off the Victorian coastline.
Right.
He's a humpback whale and he's white. And wouldn't you love to be the first to harpoon?
Don't say that.
Migaloo. That would be.
How come it's white?
Do you know what? That's bucket list stuff.
What? Harpooning a white whale? Well,
harpooning Migaloo. What a great finish to a fishing show that would be. You know, going fishing adventures.
Yeah, I don't.
And you go out there and we finish the show.
You don't hunt.
And you go, chum up the waters.
No.
And then I'd jump out of the boat.
Yeah.
And imagine punching it in the face like a
shark. I hope it would eat you. That's what I hope, Migaloo.
Oh, what? Do I look like plankton?
Really tasty.
Imagine that. Suit. Imagine being the one to turn up on the dock with a photo, you know, where you held the fish out in front. But you've got by the tail. And you've got Migaloo.
It's a massive whale. You're being stupid about that. Why is it white, though? Is it like a pigment thing or something?
No, it's an albino. It's, you know, needs some factor plus 30. You know.
It's the rock star.
Stay out of the tropical waters.
Yeah.
You'll burn.
Yeah, that's
true. Fry, Migaloo. Well, why wouldn't you do that? You should win a fluffy toy or something.
What?
If you can be the first to bring down, there should be like a fishing competition to go. Who can bring
down? You're not going to have some sort of prize to find the white whale. That's silly.
I'd go out fishing on the Nishinmaru. take it out into the Southern Ocean and find, be like Moby Dick. Mickey Dick. Mickey Dick, we'll call it. We'll make a docu.
Righto, Mickey Dick.
Me going on the hunt.
Here we go.
To harpoon Migaloo, and then I'd sell it to a Japanese restaurant. Imagine the white sushi. Oh, make a fortune here. Wouldn't be missed.
Would be missed.
Whales get a good run.
They end up
beefcakes of the ocean. Oh, they don't do it.
They're awesome.
Right.
People go out and whale watch. It's an industry. That's what people pay to get on a boat.
Watch me harpoon Migaloo.
You're terrible.
Well, you know I'd never do it, Dave.
I know that. It's still the thought, though.
Imagine rolling Migaloo back in. You know, imagine if Migaloo beached itself.
Yeah,
you take some photos first.
Well, you would. Kind of. It's very white.
We've all been rolled back into the ocean, Dave. Hey, here's a good story.
What do you got?
Fisho's bizarre fast food hack hauls in the good results. He's a crabber.
Right.
He's from Townsville.
Yeah.
Here's how the story has been reported so far.
James McDonald, affectionately known as Skid Pig around North Queensland, could soon be a living legend. His video using takeaways as bait already receiving over 15,000 views.
All the other crabbing videos, like how many times can you watch a bloke throw a crab pot in a creek, you know?
KFC, Pizza Hut, Red Rooster, McDonald's, you name it, it went in. But what was most successful?
I thought it was going to be KFC, like real oily chicken, but yeah, we were pretty shocked by it.
The ultimate Whopper proving just too mouth-watering for the Muddies.
Yeah, there's probably another video there somewhere. Burritos and Chinese food and all that sort of stuff.
Clever. It's worked. Hungry Jack's.
Hungry Jack's.
Yeah.
The Whopper.
Who would have thought?
Took it out. Yeah. You know what they used to catch crabs in the Caribbean, don't you?
What's that?
No.
Hungry Jack's new tropical Whopper with juicy pineapple.
I would have thought a McNugget.
Yeah,
I would have thought you put a McNugget on the line and or in a pot.
You'd
dangle
pot.
It and the crabs would go bonkers.
Go nuts for it.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, or a capricciosa or something maybe.
I don't think pizza's even got mentioned.
No, he's tried
so
it. Pizza Hut, yeah.
Oh, Pizza Hut.
Subway as well.
Domino's?
Yes, I mentioned Domino's.
Imagine how many crabs you could catch with a 2-for-1 offer.
McDonald's,
if the crabs aren't
Hungry
caught in
Jack's.
Half an hour, you don't have to pay for it. You know what you do use to chum up the water?
What's that?
KFC potato and gravy. Just like Burley out the back of a boat.
Oh, yeah.
You tip a little bit out the back of the boat. Are we done?
Yeah, that's
it. I didn't even get to my next story. 30 million honeybees have been released. Okay. Yeah. Do you know what? Mick Jagger should put them all on his penis. See if he can't make it bigger. You know he does that.
Yeah, right.
He does it.
Okay. It's Malloy, Triple M.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
Attention all Malloy staff. Time for an urgent team meeting. Please see Mick in his office after the show, wherever that is. Actually, just head into the studio now. Mickey needs you.
I'm looking for Whitney, as Jay,
present.
And James, all in studio.
All present. Yeah. Before we begin, any fallout from your catastrophe on the show yesterday about the pregnancy call?
I thought it was common knowledge in the office.
Oh, we know that, Dave, but it wasn't.
This show goes out nationally, just to
be sure. Yeah, but yeah,
you basically, for anyone who wasn't listening yesterday, Dave broke someone. What was her name?
Abby Corson.
Abby Corson.
She's pregnant, and
just
she
in
works
case
in promotions.
You missed it yesterday.
Didn't hear the news. She's having a baby, a girl, I believe.
So you were first with all the news here, and she had relatives ringing her
she
up
did.
Going.
I didn't realise she hadn't told all her family.
How'd you go when you got home? What did Mrs. D say?
Not really impressed. She said that was a silly thing to say, so she got a bit of a side eye out of that one.
Does she call you David in those situations?
No, she's never called me David.
Dangerous?
No. Oh. Doesn't call. She calls me Willow.
Willow. Jesus. And when you're in bed together, do you have a bit of Willow talk?
Willow? What? What's wrong with that?
What is the origin of Willow?
Williams is my surname, so it's a play on your surname. Yeah. That was my name back
when... And what's your pet name for Mrs. D?
She's my little pony. You know what I'm saying?
Jesus. All right, well, you can expect a bit of the side eye when you get home tonight, Dave. Okay, now, last night there was a function on that, once again, I get upset when I find out there's been a group function that I have not been invited to.
You were invited.
Mushroom, the good people at Mushroom. By the way, Matt Gadinsky on the show tomorrow.
Yes.
Huge interview. Big shoes to fill, but I think it'll be fine. Invited you guys to what?
The Teskey Brothers.
The Teskey Brothers, who were live in Melbourne at the Forum.
Correct.
Incredible.
And they put you in a booth.
Wonderful show.
Did they think I was coming?
Great seats, probably.
Why did they?
It was fantastic, Mick. And
okay,
they were on
happened?
Fire. It was good to see live music. And when we get there.
Teskey Brothers are great, by the way.
Wow. Amazing.
What a gig.
They were
phenomenal.
You get a chance
to go see them.
But the night was marred by an incident.
Yes.
Who would like to explain what happened?
When we arrived, there was a little table in the booth and a QR code, right, so that you can scan it and you can order your drinks and they will deliver them to you, which is really quite nice and lovely. And so we get there and everybody's taking off their jackets and James immediately opens up his phone and starts scanning the QR code. And I go, oh, that's
good
great,
on you, James. Opening up.
You're going to lead the way here.
That's fantastic.
Right?
That's a good team effort.
Rosie, Ethan, yeah. Matty O, yeah. You guys want a beer? James suddenly starts to gesticulate with his arms everywhere in his head. No. Everybody orders their own.
No.
What do you mean, order your own?
He refused the shout.
Oh, my God.
It's a team night.
Sorry, just to see.
Yeah, righto.
You know the word un-Australian gets bandied about a bit.
You hear it, yeah.
But that is unbelievable. What are you thinking?
The QR code is not designed for a shout. It's very much an individual experience.
No, I wouldn't have thought so. I would have thought if someone's bringing a drink to a table that is surrounded by your closest friends, you would want them to bring one for everybody, don't you think?
No, that's fine. They can order it themselves. They can pay for it there and then themselves. They don't need to reconcile it with me later on.
Why would they reconcile with this? It's called a shout. It's called a shout. You buy one and then someone buys you
next round, back. Yeah.
It generally works out. If it doesn't work out on that night, it'll work out on another night. But you know what? It doesn't matter because you're all friends.
I hate the phrase, it will work out in the wash. It never works out in the wash. I always end up in the red. So if everyone could just settle their own accounts, that'd be great.
I haven't heard this kind of extreme behaviour.
It was
since
amazing.
You made your girlfriend pay half the bill on your Valentine's Day hotel bill.
Still
but you're not getting ripped off.
Thing.
You're saving everyone trouble. You buy
How much did you pay for the ticket for the Teskey brothers? What'd that cost you? That's right. It was complimentary.
Okay, so you're a stickler for the rules. If you're a stickler for the rules, you would have offered to pay instead
When Matt Gadinski comes in tomorrow, hand over some cash.
Dave, he calls you a tight ass.
I know. How many times? Shout. Of course I would. A night out, yeah.
If I'd have been at that table, I would have smashed a chair over the back of your head as quickly before as you went to sip your drink. You would have. You know what I would have done? Grabbed that drink that arrived at the table and sculled it, and then blasted it. And said, learn some manners, young man. Before we go, we have some quick tidying up to do. Indeed. Whitney, I yellow carded you on the show yesterday. I'm yellow carding you again. No. We've gone down, Jade, to buy.
We have a weekly Powerball ticket that we buy for the team. Everybody's in. 80 million tonight. Gamble responsibly.
And who do you run into?
Well, as I'm buying the team ticket at one window, Whitney is standing next to me buying her own ticket.
What?
Okay, I put this out on socials, and most people agree that even though you're in a syndicate, you can go on your own.
Yeah, but
however,
not back-to-back. You don't buy back-to-back tickets.
No, that's right.
So hang on. So were you before her or after her in the queue?
We were there right at the same time.
So what if
I think our ticket went in first.
Well, we don't know, though, do
we? Don't,
we because
can't
we didn't
be
anticipate.
Sure.
Whitney would be down there doing her own thing.
No, you're right. It was a stupid move on my behalf.
That's like James shouting himself and not everyone else.
It's selfish.
Please don't put me in the same category as James.
You are.
No.
You're like twins.
Okay.
Whitney has considered her behaviour and she has a solution.
Why don't we all buy in on the ticket I bought? It's like $2.43 each.
Yes.
Then that way, if I win, we're even.
Okay, but are you going to go and then buy another ticket?
But at a different stall.
At a different stall. All right. Jay, can you put in my $2?
I will.
Are you happy with that solution?
Yes.
I am. I accept.
Oh, all right.
James, are you in?
No, you're out.
Okay.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
Just about done for the day of Malloy. Your media commitments have not finished yet. Part two comes in just a moment. When you head over to Channel 7, you've got the front bar
front
tonight.
Front bar tonight. Very special episode with the great Stewie Lowe from St Kilda, who I went to school with.
What?
Yes, and played football with.
So he was the successful one in
one
the
of us.
Sport.
I taught him how to mark.
Oh, you did.
I taught it. It could have been me and Tony Lockett as one of the great Ford.
You won a best and fairer, so.
Analyzer under 15s. Oh, and by the way, that's who else will be on the show tonight, presenting me with my number one ticket holding.
No kidding.
License for the Analyzer Footy Club.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes.
Hey, by the way, we've got a couple of tickets right now if you'd like to be in the studio audience. For
we're
Front
back.
Bar.
Studio audiences are back.
Unreal. So if you're in Melbourne, 133353, call through right now. We'll hook you up.
It is going to be great. And I think there's a photo of me from my schoolyard days. Hello, girls.
Really?
Mick's mum's dinner is on. Hey, who's on tomorrow?
Tomorrow we're going to be joined by Matt Gudinski.
Oh, wow.
Yes, jeez. Son of Michael and, of course, the head honcho of the Mushroom Group now.
They've got a
big thing, big thing happening this weekend for music for the home front. So we'll be having
be
a chat
great
with
to
Matt.
Speak to him.
Yeah, in studio here. And Glenn Robbins is going to be here as well tomorrow. Man. Look forward to that. Missed today's show? Grab the podcast. It was a ripper with Jim Jefferies and Arthur Leggett, the 102-year-old veteran. Yeah. That's at Listener app right now. Talk to you tomorrow. Malloy.
This has been the Malloy Drive Show podcast.